John chapter 21. John chapter 21. If you will permit me, I want to read this chapter to you. And anybody got the time? What time is it? My clock don't work and I couldn't see it in the handbook. Okay, all right. We're going to preach till I get through, but I want to be careful to make sure the chicken don't get too cold. Okay. All right. In John chapter 21, I want to read this chapter. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself. Now remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected. He suffered, bled, and died. And he's resurrected. He's a risen Lord. And he's coming to meet with his disciples. And there we gather together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisherman's coat upon him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, and they that were far from, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went and drew the net and to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. That's a Baptist theme song right there. Praise God. Come and dine. You like that, Lamont? We like that. Come and dine. Praise God. That's our theme song. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples just asked him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciple after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Will you bow with me for prayer? I'll leave the reading off there. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing of the congregation, the choir this morning. Thank you for touching Brother Brad. Thank you, Lord, for his life, for his ministry, for his testimony. Thank you for the great gifts you've given to him. Thank you, our Father, for all our dear friends here in this church, and God, for the wonderful years we've had to fellowship and to be here with them, see your hand, and God, see what you're doing. God, I'm glad you let me be able to see it, and thank you for it. God, I believe with all my heart that, God, you have great plans for Benson Grove. I believe, God, that you've got a wonderful plan to reach more multitudes of people. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, our Father, would help us to be obedient to that. And God, I'll thank you. And I pray, God, now that you'd speak to hearts. Lost men and women, boys and girls here in the building, in the radio audience or in the internet audience, I pray, God, you speak to every heart. And God, if there's a person here who's a Christian, our Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, if they're carrying heavy burdens, that you lift those burdens and cares. And God, I pray that every one of us would leave here, Lord, closer to you and more determined to love you with all of our heart. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read this chapter, you may think it's like two disconnected stories, but the more I've read through it, the more I realize that there's a flow to this. I want you to understand that nothing in my life or your life happens accidentally, that God orchestrates everything. Every occurrence of your life is God orchestrating for our good, for His glory, to help us in some way. So I believe the whole scenario of him approaching them during this time when they were fishing and all of that, and the following conversation that I read to you between him and Simon Peter, all are connected. You remember that he told them, he said, follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men. And my dear friend, he is talking to them now in a context of their occupation. They were fishermen. They were not just sport fishermen, recreational fishermen. They didn't do it just for pleasure. That was their occupation. They were fishers. And so he speaks to them in that regard about that. And you know, I read these men's lives and I am sure glad they're in the Bible, because I see myself in so many of these pictures. But yet, as you look at them and these men who follow the Lord, they were failures in so many areas. They were failures in the area of faith. When he talked to them about his death and resurrection and all that, the Bible said that it was a mystery to them. They couldn't quite comprehend it. And then they said, he told Peter, said, I'm going to go be crucified. He said, not so, Lord. No, you can't do that. And they failed a lot of times in their faith. Remember one time they were in a stormy sea, and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he rebuked them, and he said, in so many words, he said, oh, ye of little faith. And then he calmed the sea. They failed in their faith. How many times have I failed in my faith? How many times have you failed in your faith? Boy, I'm sure glad they're in the Bible. I'm glad that God's real and God's helping them, although they failed in their faith. You know what? They failed in their following. Peter, he's addressing Peter here, and some people say the reason he addressed Peter particularly in this scenario and with this first question, do you love me more than these, is because what Peter said just before he's going to be crucified. The Lord said, they're going to smite the shepherd and all the sheep will be scattered. Old Peter said, no, not me. Lord, no, not me. I'll follow you to the death. You remember we saw that in the program. But you know what? He did. In fact, he said, I don't even know the man. They failed in their following. I wished I could tell you that I've always followed closer to the Lord, but I hadn't, and maybe you hadn't. But I'm glad one thing. I'm glad He loves us, and I'm glad He knows where we are, and I'm glad He wants us every part of our life to be growing closer to Him. But then in this occasion, they failed in fishing. Praise God. I mean, that's what they do. That's what they love. I mean, I can understand them failing in faith and failing in following, but man, they failed in fishing. They just couldn't do it, and they knew what they were doing. They had the experience, they had the background. I don't know how, no telling how many nights they've been out on that sea fishing. I'm sure they had the very best equipment. I expect they kept the best boats. I'm sure they repaired their nets and mended their nets and kept everything in good order. They had all the tools at their disposal. They were fishing in a place that was renowned for fishing. They were fishing at the right time. No problem there. But yet they didn't catch any fish. And you know, sometimes we have everything we need. We think we know how to do it. And we're in a good place. This is a good place for fishing. I mean, right here on the side of the road in this beautiful building, this is a good, we got good equipment, got good sound system, and got all the technology. And then we fish in the right place. You wouldn't find a better place in all the world to do evangelism and ministering right here in this area where we are. I mean, people have some respect for the things of God, some, and people have needs and they have burdens and they have cares. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with the time. I mean, here we are in 2015. I know it's the last days. Wicked men are going to wax worse and worse, but God said, I'll not leave myself without a witness, and we might be that witness. Thank God for that. What an honor that God left us in these last days to be His witness. And I do not believe with all my heart that the church came in with a bang at Pentecost and God's going to let it go out with a fizzle. I believe with all my heart that God, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to rapture us out of here, I believe we'll still be reaching souls for Christ to that last one is saved. Amen. I want to see God do that. But yet they failed in fishing. And He said to them, you cast your net on the other side. You saw the story. Boy, they caught them. I mean, they caught them. And they counted them, 153 of them. Praise God. And you know what? They went back and told everybody. You know, the Lord did every bit of that. They went back next day and told everybody, you ought to see the fish we caught last night. But they didn't catch anything to the Lord. And then He goes right into this scenario, and He asks a question to Simon Peter. Now, please understand, he's addressing Simon Peter. And I believe he's speaking especially to him, and Peter's taking it very, very personally. But the rest of these guys are listening as well. They're all listening. And he asked him a question, asked Simon Peter a question. Simon, do you love me? He said, yea, Lord, I love you. And he said him a second time, and he said, go feed my lambs. He said, do you love me? Simon Peter said, yeah, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And he asked him a third time, and then it just kind of grieved Peter at the heart because he asked him a third time. He said, do you love me? He said, yea, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, go feed my sheep. I got to look at this and thinking about it, and God kind of jogged my heart with some things. You know what he's saying to Peter and to the rest of those disciples? Do you really love me? I preached last week on the behavior of a Christian. You're the love of the Lord. But do you really love him? And Brother Brad has indicated this morning he loves the Lord. We all indicated we love the Lord. But can I just kind of put it where you and I could understand it? When he said, Simon, do you love me? He said, Lord, I love you. Three different times he said this, if you love me, prove it. He's omniscient. That means he knows everything. But he said, if you really love me, you prove it. And I tell you how you can prove that you know him and that you love him, and that is to love under every circumstance. If you really love the Lord, you'll go some places you don't want to go, and you'll do some things you may not want to do, but you do it because you love the Lord. In fact, the Bible said, if you love the Lord, you'll go the second mile. That means that you go beyond and beyond and beyond. And he tells a story about one when he compels you to bear his coat or cloak, and he said, take it for a mile, and when you get a mile done, that was all the obligation under the law. But then he said this, then he compelled him to go another mile, and he said he went the second mile. And in this context, as I'm looking at this, there's some words that over the years that I have looked at and I've understood what people are saying. I believed it and taught it and preached it every the same way. But I want to look at it just a little bit differently this morning. There are two Greek words that are used in this passage of Scripture. When the Lord asked Peter in the context of it, he said, do you love me? That word is agapos, like the word agape. It is godly love, but when it is agapos, it is that love which is demanded by the law. Now I want to show you what I'm talking about. Look back in Luke chapter number 10. Hold your place there in John, but turn back to Luke chapter 10, and I want to repeat what I shared with you last week, a passage that I shared with you. But in Luke chapter 10, look at verse 27. And he answered and said, someone here is referring or answering the Lord back what's stipulated in the law. Jesus has asked the question, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thou shalt. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto the Lord, who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus used that phrase that's mentioned in there. You're to love the Lord. It is a command. It is a command of God to love the Lord. And Peter said, Lord, I love you. I love you. But now his response was a little different. His response was like phileo, like brotherly love. It's not the same word. And he did that on two different occasions. The Lord said, do you agape me? And Peter said, I phileo you, Lord. I love you like a brother. And then the last time the Lord said, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you like a brother. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to come up with some new thing, but I'm just saying what God spoke to my heart about as I've studied and as we've talked about us being children of God. In the context in Luke 10, he's talking to a man who's very religious. He's a man who knows what he's supposed to do because of a command. And the Jews were required to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul. That was God's command. Now, I got to think about Peter. Peter does not impress me as a man who would want to kind of belittle himself. I see him a little bit as a braggart, don't you? I mean, I believe if anybody, you know, he's all the time telling anybody else caught a fish that long, Peter said, I caught one that long, praise God. I caught the biggest one. I had the best boat. And when the Lord said, all men are going to forsake me, Peter said, I won't ever forsake you. I won't ever deny you. The Lord said, you will too. You will too. And you remember when he was resurrected, he said, you go tell my disciples and Peter. And the Lord's already confronted him. And now this is the third occasion that he's appeared to them. He's already settled that thing with Peter about him being such a braggart. And I don't think he's saying this, though, because he's humbled down. And I may be missing it 10 million miles. But if you do anything because it is God's command without the right heart, right motive, it doesn't honor God. And I think Peter had come to a place where he understood it wasn't the letter of the law. Now, agape is divine love, godly love. But agapos is the love that's demanded by the law. And Peter said, Lord, I love you like a brother. I love you like a brother. And he said, do you really love me? Do you love me? And he said, I love you like a brother. And then the Lord changed and used the same word. Now, if that's the case, the Lord is not lowering his standard. I think he wants us to understand this, that everything I do ought not to be just out of a strict adherence to the commands of God, but it ought to be done out of love. Abraham was called the friend of God, and he's the father of the faithful. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. He had a unique relationship, even different than Moses. He was the friend of God. Because what he did not do out of strict adherence to command, but out of a real, genuine love in his heart. And I think what the Lord is dealing with Peter about is this idea that I want you to obey me out of a sheer love for me. Now, he said, if you love me like that, if you're going to love me like that, and see back the other conversation, that guy said, here's the law, and I got to keep the law. So now who is my neighbor? Who have I got to love? The Bible said the Lord loved the whole world. And so here's a guy who he's going to try to keep the law. So he wants to keep the law, but he don't want to have to go any further than he has to. But here's Peter, and what the Lord, I believe, is speaking in his heart about is this. Peter, your love ought to prove your love to me. And it ought to be genuine and real, not just a strict obedience to my command. You just love people. You're going to love. If you love the Lord, you need to show it. Now, there were certain people that under the law that they didn't necessarily have to be kind to. They didn't have to demonstrate love. But Christ is going on beyond that now. You're to love the Lord. Matter of fact, he said this, you're to love your enemies. You're to love those who despitefully use you. You're to love them. Have a compassionate heart for them. And demonstrate that love. Now, I'm talking about, if you love me, he said, if you love me, now you show it. How do you love the Lord? Brother Avery Rogers made a statement years ago. And when he first said it, it made sense. But the more I've lived it and thought about it, the more what awesome truth it is. He said, the only way you can really love God is to love people. The only way you really love God and show him how much you love him is to love people. He knows your heart, but you demonstrate your love in people's lives. I'm talking about like at the restaurant. And when things don't go well and you're supposed to be a Christian and everything else, and you just have fit. I listened to a fellow talk the other day, and he said that two guys were together, and they were both Christians, and somebody did try to take a parking place, I believe it was, and they had just a big blowout fuss, the other one guy did, and he got real ugly with the man, and when he came back to the car, the other fella said, you ought not have done that. You ought not have done that. He said, well, he ought not have got my place. He said, well, you're Christian, though. You're Christian. And he said, I reached and took a tract, handed a tract. He said, go give him a tract and tell him about Jesus. And he said he wouldn't do that because he'd already wasted his testimony. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to win folk to Christ, you got to love them. Love them just like they are. And just love them in such a way that you minister Christ. And in the restaurants, everywhere you go, you love them like that. You just love them like Jesus loved them, and they feel your love. And they'll sense that. They'll know something different about you. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. If you really love the Lord, you'll be willing to go the second mile. You let people take advantage of you. You let people do things that ought not be done. I'm not talking about just, you know, people talking about being a doormat, but I'm talking about for the cause of Christ. You'll put up with a whole lot of things and not say things you want to say, not do things you want to do, because your ultimate goal is you want to see them saved. And you want a chance to be able to share Christ with them. And the Lord said, if you love me, Peter, show me. Prove it. You get out there and love my sheep. Now, I thought it was interesting. He didn't say, Peter, do you love the church? He didn't say, do you love sheep? He said, do you love me? And the whole thing is, if we'll love him with a real, genuine, not just a dictated love, not a love in obedience, not just because I'm supposed to love him and I got to love him, because I genuinely do love him, then I'll love like he loves. I'll love what he loved. The Bible said he loved the church and died for it. I heard a story some time ago about a dear lady, an elderly gentleman. She loved cats. She had always had cats. And the old man just, he couldn't stand the cat. He's all the time fussing about the cat, get the cat out of the house, everything else. And the young man in the house grew up and went off and actually became a preacher. And he said his mama died, and he and his wife went back home and said when they got in the house, got in there, said it hadn't been there 5 minutes, and that big old cat come through the back door and came up to his daddy sitting in that chair, rubbed upside him, said his daddy reached down and picked that cat up, started rubbing that cat, played over that cat. He said, the whole time we were there, said, my daddy just loved that cat. And got in the car and he's going home. He said, honey, I can't believe that. I can't believe he done that. Said, my daddy, he ain't never liked cats. He didn't want cats in the house, no one worry. She said, you know why your daddy loved that cat and was treating that cat like that? He said, no. Said, because your mama loved cats. That's your mama's cat. And you know what? If we're loved like Jesus loves, we love what he loved. Some things I can't love. Some people's hard for me to love. But if I love like Jesus loved, if I prove it, if I really prove I love him by loving what he loves, the church. And you think about it. He loved the church and died for it. I want to be faithful to it. I want to do all I can to be a blessing in the church. I want to serve God's people. I want to minister to God's people. He said, if you love me, prove it. Now you prove it. You love me, show it. Everywhere you go, get out here and be a testimony. And remember every person you meet, every person you have encountered with, whether it's in business, in school, or wherever you're there to demonstrate the love of Christ. Love them like Jesus loved them. Love them like the Lord loved them. And my dear friend, God will make a difference in their life and in your life if you'll love like Jesus loved. Prove it. Prove it. You know what? They'll watch you and they'll listen to you. And they may turn you off. They may do everything they can to mock you. But there's coming a time that they'll say one thing. I know they love me. I know they really cared. And when God tenders their heart, you'll be able to help them. You'll be able to minister to them. Love them like Jesus loved them. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's our desire, is that they get saved. We want to love them like Jesus loved them. I asked you a while ago in the beginning, I raised my hand. When you raised your hand, do you love the Lord? Well, he says to Simon Peter, if you love me, you prove it. Not out of a strict command. You don't witness because you have to. You don't go to church because you have to. But you love him, and you love what he loves, and you love the people he loves, and you'll show that love of the Lord Jesus Christ to them through you. You might not always want to. You might not always feel it, but you'll have to ask God to give you grace to show that love. I want you to bow your heads for prayer. A simple truth I want you to see this morning, and that is this. Our love is not a dictated love. It is a devoted love. It is not a compassionate, it is not a commanded love. It is a compassionate love. Love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul. It was a command. It is a command. But our response is not to a command, but to our Savior. And you know what? I realized when I got saved that He loved me. I'd heard about the love of God. I've heard people talk about the love of God. I've saw it demonstrated in people, my mama and some others. I saw that love demonstrated. But I had never really experienced it until I trusted the Lord. And when I got saved, I realized how much He loved me even before the foundation of the world. The more I see of it, the more it just blows my mind that He loved me and He died for me. And I believe I can honestly say, since I've been saved and when God called me to preach, what I've done for Him and what little bit I've done for Him, I did it because He loved me and I experienced His love. John says it this way, we love Him because He first loved us. You show His love. I'm going to tell you, there's no answer for it. There's no defense against it. They can cuss you. They can make fun of you. But if you'll love them, there's no weapon that can destroy that. And they can't get away from that love of God that's demonstrated in you. I'm thankful that our God is a God of love. He is a consuming fire. He is a God of justice. But we are operating now in what's called the dispensation of grace. And right now, His love is extended. His grace is extended to every person the sound of my voice. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friend, have you ever experienced that love? While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed, I'm not going to ask you this time, do you love Him? I'm asking you, have you experienced and you know and you felt the love of God in your life? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Let me put your hands down. We love Him because He first loved us. Everything I do, everything this church does, ought to be not just out of a strict act of obedience or adherence to command, but it ought to be out of a heart of love, genuine, real love, to love what He loves, to love who He loves, and to minister the way He ministered, and to love people. I wonder how many of you say, Brother Bill, I'm a Christian. But I'll be honest with you, I fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And sometimes I don't act like a Christian. I don't love like a Christian. I know it's real. And I want to be able to demonstrate that to every person I meet in every circumstance. I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to show great anger. I want to have the power of God on me so that if God will give me an opportunity, I can share Christ. I want to love Him with a real, genuine love. And preacher, will you pray for me to that effect? Would you raise your hand? I want us to stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to do something a little different this morning, not just because of the time element, but I think this is what the Lord had me to do. If you're not saved this morning and you'd like to get saved, I'm telling you, you'll never know the real meaning of the love of God until you experience it. Now, when you experience, you'll understand it, that He loved you just exactly like you were. He didn't put any demands on you. He loved you before the foundation of the world, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He forgave all of our sin when we realized we were lost and needed a Savior, saved us. And but matter of fact, dear friend, you can be saved today. You can know Him as your Savior. I want us today, if you're not saved, I'd love to pray for you. While you're standing, would you raise your hand and say, preacher, if I died right now, I do not know I'd go to heaven, but I want you to pray for me. And I want you to, I want to care enough about my never dying soul that I don't want to die lost. I want to go to heaven. I'm not sure if I died now to go to heaven. Would you raise your hand across the congregation? I'll see it. Just raise it right up, right back down. Right up, right back down. Anybody? Now, for those who are Christians, we raised our hand a while ago and said, I love him. I love him. Now, I'll ask you a question. Just think back. This past week, how have you proved to him you loved him? Oh, I told him. Well, I told him too. But he said to Peter, Peter, if you love me, show me. Prove it. You feed my sheep, feed my lambs. What he's saying to Peter is this, you prove it. You love him, you prove it. I'll ask you this question. I'm going to pray. We're gonna do something different. Preacher, I was honest a while ago when I said I love him. But I know that I need to prove it. I need to show it. He knows all things. It needs to be demonstrated. I need to love him by loving people. And preacher, I want to show love at my home. I want to show love at my work. I want to show love in the public. And I want to always react with love. The love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I want to be a good testimony, a good witness. I don't want to act in such a way that people won't listen to what I've got to say. And I want them to know I care about them, I love them. Preacher, will you pray with me about that? Would you raise your hand? Our Heavenly Father, this morning, I did not see a hand that anybody was lost. But Father, I know that maybe in this crowd, there's some who were a little bit timid and didn't want to raise their hand. God, I pray for the Holy Ghost of God to convict them, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, now that you would just speak to the heart of every Christian. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us. Lord, we say we love you. Help us to prove it. Help us to show you we love you because we love what you love. You love the church and died for it. And our faithfulness to the church, our stewardship in the cause of Christ, our service. Lord, as we meet people, encounter people every day, I pray, God, that, Lord, there'd be no question that there's something unique about that woman, something unique about that man, because they have the love of God shed abroad in their heart. And God, I pray you'd make that real for me and real for every one of our Christian friends in here today. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brad, I want us to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. I want to sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. I've asked the Wednesday night crowd to do something I want you to do for me. And I have not mentioned on Sunday morning. I want you to take a piece of paper in the next few days, begin today. I love the Lord because, and start writing it down. I love the Lord because. Why is it that you love him? Why is it? And what has he done? Why do you love the Lord? Write that out. Write it out. I love the Lord because. Let's sing this little chorus together.